dead and all that is done, that the name of Jesus is lifted up in this place. And we say thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, does that sound good? That's kind of echoey for me, but are you okay? All right. You know, the reason why we gather together each week, what is the reason why we actually get together on a weekly basis? It's to praise and to exalt and to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the reason. You know, if it wasn't about Jesus, I can assure you we wouldn't be meeting here today. And Christianity is all about the King, and it's about His kingdom. And I remember some time back, it must probably about a month ago, I was sharing a message, and I remember we started speaking about the words that we speak. How many of you remember that? And I still said, I stopped right there, I said, I need to speak about this sometime. You know, the words that we speak. Because the words that come out of our mouths, folks, are creative. The words that come out of our mouths, they can create something and they are powerful. And really, I just felt now's the time for me to speak about that. You know, how powerful and how can I say? Yeah, just maybe that's a word. Just powerful our words really are. And I know this message that I'm sharing here today, you know, we've all heard it. We've heard it at some point. Maybe it was in the previous church you were in. I know that I spoke about this very thing. It was about 3.5, nearly 4 years ago. And I want to share a similar message. And the reason why I want to share this message again is because we hear this, but we don't apply it in our own lives. And I trust that after you've heard what I'm going to be sharing here today, that there's going to be a decision, that we are going to make a decision to be careful what we allow to come out of our mouths. Because we create things by the words we actually speak. So, the title of my message today is The Creative Power of Words, Part 1. So, I'm going to lay a foundation here today. Then next week, we're going to actually continue with this, where we get into some of the nitty-gritties. So, what does the Bible actually say about the words that we speak? Does it say anything? What is the Word of God? What does the Bible say about the words that come out of our mouths, that are created in our mouths and actually come out of our mouths? Now, James 1 verse 26, let me read it to you. It says, if a person thinks that he is religious. Now, in our context, that might be if a person thinks that he's a good Christian. Right? Is that okay? But can't control his tongue, he is fooling himself. Wow, right? It goes on to say that person's religion or that person's Christianity is worthless. Now, these are very, very strong words that I'm sharing right here, right? That if we cannot control our tongues, folks, that what we stand for and who we stand for and the way we conduct ourselves and everything we do in terms of you and I being believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Our religion, if you want to use that word, I don't like that word. Our Christianity, he says, is worthless if we don't control that tongue of ours. Now, if you give your tongue freedom to say anything, just somehow because you've thought about that, you know, so you think about it and you open your mouth and you give your tongue that freedom to say anything. And if you take no care in what comes out of your mouth, you not only deceive your own heart, right? But your religion or your belief system or your Christianity, according to what James says, becomes unprofitable to you and it becomes unprofitable to other people. And we need to remember too that our religion is not what we do. Our religion is who we are. Let me say that again. Our religion is who we are. And when we open our mouths and we say stuff that contradicts the Word of God, we start to look like hypocrites. Is that true? We begin to look like hypocrites when we go out there and we compromise our Christianity by the words that come out of our mouths. And really, this thing has to stop. I mean, I see it, you see it, we all see it with other believers. Of course, none of us here are like that. I mean, we're just the perfect church. We just say the right stuff all the time. Is that correct? Huh? Folks, you know who I'm speaking to? Look at me. I'm pointing to you, but look how many fingers are pointing to me. Three. So we all in it. We all mess up in this area. We all say stuff that we should not be saying. We all creating things with the words that we actually speak. And a lot of the time, it is negativity, it is wrong, it's incorrect. And in actual fact, where you have unbelievers that are looking at you, because you said you're a Christian, they're looking at you and they're going, they're just shaking their head. Because of our words. In James 3:5 it says, in the same way, the tongue is a small part of the body. Is that correct? How many of you have noticed your tongue in relation to the rest of your body is quite small? You know, if you haven't noticed that, maybe I can help you. I can show you, right, if you haven't noticed. Our tongues are small compared to our whole body. But it says, but it can brag about doing important things. The largest forest can be set on fire by a little flame. You remember just a few weeks ago, remember those fires in Cape Town, south of Table Mountain? Do you think that was a huge fire? It started off as a huge fire? It was a spark, folks. A little spark, a little flame can set a whole... The tongue sets our lives on fire. Folks, God has a plan and a purpose for you. He has a plan and a purpose for me. But I want to tell you something right now, that if you and I are not controlling our tongues, what he says, that the tongue sets our lives on fire. And is itself set on fire from hell. Yet no one can tame the tongue. And because the word says that no one can contain the tongue, it doesn't mean that we just give up. We as believers in Jesus, we need to make sure we do our utmost to control our tongue. It says, yet no one can tame the tongue. It is an uncontrollable evil filled with deadly poison. With our tongues, we praise our Lord and Father. Isn't that true? This morning we had a time of praise and worship. We were opening up our mouths. We were using our tongues. And we were exalting God. Is that right? And it says, yet, with that same tongue that you and I have been using this morning to praise God, it says, we curse people who were created in God's likeness. So 1 minute we're praising God, and with the same tongue, we are cursing people who have been created by God in God's image. Praise, it says, praise and curses come from the same mouth. My brothers and my sisters, he's pleading with us here. My brothers and sisters, this should not happen. Does clean and polluted water flow out of the same spring? Can you imagine that? You go somewhere and you're so thirsty. You're drinking this crystal clear water. And it starts to satisfy you. Next thing, what's all that stuff that lurks in our seawater? That E. coli, E. coli stuff? Huh? Next thing, it's full of E. coli, right? And then it's clear again. And then it's not. He says it shouldn't happen. It never does happen. Out of a spring, you either get polluted or bitter water, or you get fresh water. It's not fresh and then bitter, fresh, bitter, fresh. Is that true? And he's saying to us, our tongues are exactly the same. Let's make sure that we are using our tongues, you know, for good, that we are magnifying and glorifying the Lord. Now, it's very interesting. So I read our six verses there. And in these six verses, I want to unpack them a little bit for us. There are 12 points in this portion of Scripture that talks about the tongue and it talks about the words that we actually speak. So let's just have a look at it. Are we okay? I'm so grateful I'm just the messenger. Huh? Firstly, number one, it says, it is a little member. Now, what's interesting, that you take a ship. You take a ship that's got a tiny little rudder. Do you know that ships have a tiny little rudder? Just like our tongue is a small portion of our body, a ship has a rudder that is a tiny little thing. And yet, that rudder is able to direct and control a huge ship and the direction that it goes. That tiny little rudder. Folks, your tongue and my tongue directs our lives. Let me say that again. Our tongues direct our lives according to what James says right here. That's the first point. The next thing, it boasts about doing great things. How many of you have heard people's tongue boasting? Right? You know what Paul says? He says the only time that we should open up our mouths and boast is when we are boasting about the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that true? Let's embrace that, folks. The only time that any boasting comes out of our mouths is when we boast about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to control our tongue and stop it from boasting unless it's about the King. Is that good? That's the second point there. The third thing he says, that it sets our lives on fire. There will be destruction. There will be devastation in our lives, according to what he says here, if you and I do not control our tongue. Devastation. Destruction. Are we getting the message here this morning? I trust that by the time we leave here, we're going to say, you know what? This is going to be zipped. Unless I really can say something positive and something that is constructive and something that is good. The fourth thing that he says is that it is a world of evil if not controlled. Our tongues. In other words, it will be used by Satan and by his cohorts for the extension of his kingdom as opposed to the extension of God's kingdom. If we allow that, if we open our mouths and speak negatively, his kingdom, Satan's kingdom being extended. The fifth thing, it contaminates the whole body. Now, it's one thing if your tongue and my tongue only contaminated our mouths. But it doesn't say that. It says it contaminates your whole body. And what's interesting, I don't know if you know this, and I'm sure you do, that not only do you have a body, but you are part of a body as well. And you are part of the body of Christ. Is that true? So, folks, it not only contaminates our own bodies, but it contaminates the body of Christ if we are not speaking the right things and negative stuff is coming out of our mouths. And when we see it from that perspective, it actually hits home. Is that true? The next thing he says here, the sixth point, it can put the wheel of life on fire. How many of us know that life is we talk about the wheel of life. But our tongue, if we are not using it correctly, it can put the wheel of your life and my life and on fire. We know that Jesus came to, why did he come? To give us life and life in abundance. That's why he came. That's one of the reasons why he came. But folks, when we're not controlling this, we're speaking things negatively, it actually nullifies the incredible things that the Lord has actually done for us. We need to be mindful of that. Okay? We will not, I really don't believe that we will experience the abundant life that Jesus purchased for us, and he paid the highest price for that. I mean, we were singing a song here this morning that said, talk about the spilt blood of Jesus. I don't believe in the spilt blood of Jesus, to be quite honest. Okay? It is the shed blood of Jesus. Is that right? It was a deliberate act. when we talk about spilt, it implies it's an accident. Is that right? I knocked something over, I spilt it. No. The blood of Jesus was not spilt. The blood of Jesus was shed for you and for me. It was a deliberate act by God for us. So we need to be mindful of that. And He has done so much for us. So He died on that cross that we may experience the abundant life. And yet, our words can start to nullify what He did for us. Amen? The seventh thing is that He says in just these six verses is it may be that it is untamable. But folks, as believers, like I said earlier on, let's do our utmost. We might not perfect it, but we need to do our utmost to ensure that we tame our tongue. And the reason, there's a very good reason for that. The reason is because of who we represent. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you know what? We are called by His name. We are called Christians. And that means we are, you know, Christ is in our name. Is that right? Christian. So folks, when we are out there in this lost and dying world, I've said this before, unbelievers are looking at us, right? And we need to represent Jesus well. And our words are one of the areas where it is so easy to actually mess up on. Is that right? So this, by the way, I'm sharing this really as an encouragement for us because we need to make the necessary adjustments the best that we can. And will we get it right? Are we perfect? No. But you know what happens when we start to apply or put something in place that we become aware of our words? When we do mess up, you know what happens? There's a conviction in us. And we're able to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up there. And we repent and we move on. So, and that's what's so nice about us being believers. The eighth thing, it is a cause of uncontrollable evil, the Bible says. Not just evil, uncontrollable evil, right? Is that true? Are we okay? If you could see yourself from where I'm standing, eh? What do they used to say? It's like a frog in a hailstorm. Blink, blink, blink. Right. The next thing, number nine. The tongue. James says the tongue can be full of deadly poison. What does poison do? Yeah? Okay. So what he's saying is that when we speak negatively, and we could be speaking over somebody's life, it's like poison. You know, we can be killing somebody's dreams. We can be killing somebody's desires. We can be killing somebody's self-esteem just by those words. So it kills. The tongue kills. Poison kills. Poison destroys. Is that right? So let us be those folks that use this little member in our mouths to encourage people, to bless people, to give life as well. The next one, number 10 of 12, just in the short six verses, it can be used to bless God. Is that good? And he says, and curse man. I said earlier on, the same tongue of ours, isn't that incredible? One minute we're praising God with our tongue, and the next minute, with our same tongue, we are cursing people who have been created in God's image. And James says, my brothers and my sisters, it shouldn't be like this. This is when he says, should salt or bitter water come out of the same spring as crystal clear water? And he says, no, shouldn't. Number 11. It's capable of good conversation. Is that true? Hallelujah. There's something that's good that we find in this portion of Scripture about our tongues. It's capable of good conversation. So if the tongue is controlled, it can be used for great things. Great things. We speak life into situations. We bless with our tongues. We encourage with our tongues. Is that right? That's the part that we should be using. But it's also, the final point is, that it is capable of bitter strife, he says. Bitter strife. And if the tongue is not controlled, it will ensure that the people around us are unhappy, they are dissatisfied, it can cause disagreements around us, arguments around us, and strife. So those are the 12 things that James speaks about when speaking about the tongue. So folks, I really believe that we have to make a decision when it comes to this. We have to make a decision in terms of making sure that we control our tongue. And it, let me say, it is about making a decision, because the path of least resistance is that stuff will come out of our mouths that is not pleasing to the Lord. That's the path of least resistance. And we are all in that place. And that is why we have to do our utmost, make a decision, become aware of what we are saying, that we start to speak life into situations. Amen. Because, you know, the Word of God is powerful. How many of us know that? The Word of God is powerful. And the Word of God that is actually conceived in our heart, when we take God's Word, it's conceived in our heart, and then it is formed with our tongue, and that is spoken out. It's spoken out of our mouths. Is very, very powerful. Very powerful. It releases the ability of God on the inside of us. Amen? So, it's also interesting if you think about it like this. God created by, how did he do it? By words. By speaking things into existence. Is that true? So God said, for example, let there be light. God opened his mouth, he spoke, he said, let there be light. And the Bible also says that you and I are created in the image of God. So if we are created in the image of God, when we speak, we are creating. Is that true? But the thing is, we are not aware of that. We're not aware of it. But it's a fact. That when you and I say things, when we speak, we are creating. Just like God said, right? God created by speaking. We have been created in His image. So those things that we say that we can, well, let me say it like this. People who say that they can and people who say that they can't, you know what? They're both right. Did you hear that? People who say that they can and people who say that they can't, they are both right. Because the person that says that they can, they can. And they kind of gear themselves up to being able to. Those that say they can't, they can't. I want to take a portion of Scripture, and this is so interesting. You know, I just love Jesus' ministry. You know, He's always having a go at the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day. And when I read the Bible, I mean, this is just my thing, okay? Don't take this as now, Dave says, and it's always like this. But it seems that whenever Jesus is healing people or he's coming forward with signs and wonders and miracles, it always seems to be on the Sabbath. Huh? Is that right? Why? Because he wants to irritate these religious leaders of the day. Oh, you're not allowed to do anything like that on the Sabbath. You know, how dare you heal that man's eyes on this? It's the Sabbath. Huh? It's like he waits for the Sabbath. You know, just Jesus gives us a story here about the very thing that we're speaking about. About the words that we say. And what Jesus is saying, folks, is that when we speak words and then we still add faith to our words, those words are extremely, extremely powerful. Very, very powerful. And Jesus gives us, I'm going to go through a little story here. He gives us a situation, and when you really analyze it, the story that I'm going to read us, it's because he wants us to be able to see How powerful our words are. This is really what it is. So let me read the story to you. This is Mark 11:11. Then Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So he goes into Jerusalem, he goes into the temple, and he looks around at everything. Since it was already late, he went out with the 12 to Bethany. Right? So he leaves Jerusalem, he goes to Bethany, and then it says, the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus becomes hungry. Remember, Jesus is 100% man. Is that right? Jesus also got hungry. So he's hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree covered with leaves, he went to see if he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, so when he comes to this fig tree, he found nothing except leaves because it wasn't the season for figs. You can imagine, now you're hungry, you get there, now there's no figs on this thing. Watch what Jesus does. And folks, I really believe that he does what he does now just to show his disciples something. And it's to do with the words that we speak. Verse 14 says, now this is Jesus. So he said to it. What does Jesus say? So Jesus is speaking to a tree. So he says to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. Folks, did Jesus think it or did he speak it? Huh? He spoke it. Huh? Tree, can imagine. May no one ever eat fruit from you again. Speaks to the tree. And he did that because what we learn here today, so that everyone could hear, his disciples could hear. And so he spoke it, and then it says, now his disciples were listening to this. So they saw Jesus and they heard Jesus speaking to the tree. I just want to recap. Can I recap on this? Because this is so interesting. All right. So Jesus is hungry. So he looks out. He sees the fig tree over there. And on this fig tree, there's leaves. And the leaves on the fig tree. So he goes to the fig tree hoping to find some figs because he's hungry. And he gets there and there's nothing. And now Jesus speaks to the tree. He says, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And then he walks off, right? When they come back the next day, we see in verse 21, it says that the disciples called Jesus' attention to the fig tree. They called Jesus, Jesus, remember that fig tree, right? They said, Jesus, look, the leaves have withered. The tree's died. It's dead from the roots. They said, Jesus, did you notice the tree that you cursed? All right? So Jesus just spoke to the tree, but he spoke negatively to the tree. The disciples said, Jesus, the tree that you cursed. And folks, the word cursed, we need to check it out. It actually means to speak negatively over. Like I said, there's power in our words. To speak negatively over. So Jesus spoke negatively over the tree. The disciples said, Jesus cursed the tree. He spoke doom over the tree. Jesus spoke evil against the tree. Right there. Notice, folks, that the Bible, you know what the Bible says in verse 21. And he said that he put, it said that he put a curse on that tree. Is that right? A curse. So how do you put a curse? I mean, on people. By speaking negatively over them. Or negatively about anything. Remember that Jesus just spoke to the tree. Just spoke negatively to the tree. Now, folks, as believers, you and I have the ability to be able to put curses on people by the words that come out of our mouth. And if you and I are just speaking negatively over people, huh? Have you seen people do it? Give you an example. So this place is full. You know why it's full? Chock-a-block. People all over the place because everybody's brought their friends and family. Right. It's a Sunday morning. The place is buzzing. I preach my little heart out, okay, on this particular Sunday. Right? I give a message the best that I can, right? And then I give an altar call. Right at the back, somebody puts up their hand and says, you know what? I want Jesus. I want Jesus to come into my life. And then there's some people sitting over there. I'm pointing now where there's no chairs. There's some people sitting over there. Right, no one's sitting on those chairs. And the one person talks to the other person, says, do you know what? Hey, that person that's just put up their hand, do you know what? I know them. You watch, within 3 weeks, that person will be back in their sin. You know what happens, folks? 3 weeks later, they're back in their sin. Right? But now the person that actually said it, they're kind of giving themselves a little pat on the shoulder and so proud of the prophetic edge that they have in their life. They see themselves as little prophets now because that thing that they said has now come to pass. But in actual fact, folks, they were the problem. They were the problem right there because of the negative words that they spoke over that person. The curse words, whatever it was, over that person. They were the problem. They were the problem. There's power in our words. What happened right there in that situation, they were actually deceived by the evil one right there to start to tear down what God had actually started in the life of somebody to bring them through, you know, not only salvation, but that person to come through and spend eternity in the presence of God. And they opened their mouth and they started to tear down what God was actually doing. They were being used by the evil one. Just saying. But the next verse, Jesus went to tell them about, you know, the words that we speak and when we add faith to it. Now, folks, the Word of God says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I know that all of us that are here today, we want to be God pleasers. Is that right? The Word also says in Hebrews 38, it says, Now the just shall live by faith. Who are the just? Those that are born again, those that are children of the Most High, those that have received Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, they are the just. And that is us, folks. That is us as believers. And we need to be those that actually walk by faith. We need to be walking by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now the problem is that too many of us believers, we think we got it, you know, they made a mistake in the Bible somehow, right? We got it right. We really believe that we, you know, we should walk by sight and not by faith. Have you heard people, they say, I will believe it when I see it, huh? Whereas believers, we should believe it and then we see it. Huh? Is that not right? Folks, Mark 11:22. Let me just read this. Also, this is Jesus speaking. And answering, Jesus said to them. So who's speaking here? He says, have faith in God. For truly I say to you, that whoever shall say, now, when the word say is there, that means we open our mouths and we speak. Is that right? Jesus said, for not think, because so often we think we can think it. Jesus is saying now, we need to verbalize it. Because, you know, even your salvation, that Romans 10:9, if we say with our mouth and we believe in our heart, is that true? Even our salvation is as a result of us speaking. So Jesus says, for truly I say to you, that whoever shall say, open your mouth, to this mountain. What's the mountain in your life right now? Do you have a financial mountain? Do you have a health mountain? What is a mountain? Folks, we need to be speaking to our mountain. If Jesus can speak to a tree, you and I can speak to our mountains. For truly I say to you that whoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that which he has said. Believe what you've said, not thought, said. In other words, you verbalized it. It says, he shall have whatever he says. In other words, what you have spoken. So the point is here, we can see how powerful our words are. I mean, if Jesus is telling us to speak to our mountains, right? Jesus gave the disciples a demonstration of how powerful, you know, words are when he spoke to the tree. I'm saying, folks, the time has come that we need to make a decision to watch what we say. Watch what we say. Our words have power, especially when we add faith to our words. So, all I've done now, I've laid the foundation for, this is part one of the series. Next week, I'm going to continue. We're going to have a look and see what Scripture actually says about the words that we speak. For example, Matthew 12:37 says, for by your words, it says, you shall be justified, and by your words, you shall be condemned. There's a lot in the Bible about how powerful our words are. So, I want to stop right there. We'll carry on next week. But I just want to pray with us.